We're going to start off this evening. I guess it would be this afternoon, wouldn't it? In Luke 17, and I'll read it as you're looking. In 17:26 is where I'm going to start. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank. They married wives, were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day of the Son, when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And that he that is in the field, let him not likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. That word at the end, remember. Last week I was talking with Akeem, and we were talking about old days. In fact, we mentioned a little bit this evening. And the memory is a wonderful thing. Usually when I go to a cemetery or a funeral, I'll say this: disease can take the body, but you still got the memories here. And, you know, memories are a wonderful thing. You know, memories are like a diary. When you go to a funeral, do you ever see where they have a collage? I think that's the right word. Where they have, maybe the body won't be there, and they'll have pictures of one so-and-so and so-and-so and so. Well, you know, the mind is like that collage. You look back through your mind, and in fact, I was kidding a little bit with Chris, and I look back, and when you get old, your mind... And I'll give you a good illustration of mine in a few minutes. I have a tent. And you've seen it. We use it up here, out here sometimes. And it's about 12 by 24 or something like that. I lend it out to almost anyone that'll ask me. And I lend it out, and it came back like it usually does. And I put it in my shed. And this tent probably weighs about 100 pounds. Just a bulky, it's in a big bag. Well, someone asked to borrow that tent, and I couldn't find it. I always keep it in the same place. So I called everyone on, oh boy, I called everyone on that tent too. I tried to, in a polite way, say, did you bring that tent back? Oh, Have you ever ate humble pie? I do it on pretty regular basis. Anyway, I asked everyone that I lent it out to, and they all swore. And sometimes it was almost to the point where I was accusing them. And Lord knows I didn't mean to say it like that, because that tent is over 20 years old. I paid $99 for it. And truthfully, if it came up missing, it just means I would have to put that stupid thing away. But anyway, I was working, I'm pulling some tools out of my shed. And like most men, I have lawnmowers and tillers and little lawnmowers and snow blowers and flower pots and all that stuff. And I was cleaning, I wasn't cleaning, I was looking for something. And lo and behold, you never guess what was back of some stuff. That tent. That's so embarrassing. You know, here it, they're talking about memory, you know. Woo. But normally the memory is a wonderful thing. We read in particular here about the Balls and their marriage, and when he said something about his wife, you know, he was looking back. He's not looking forward. Though she's still a sweet woman, they had a good relationship. But he's looking back, and as you get older, you have a tendency to look back. And in my way of thinking, since I got saved, all my pleasant memories have been basically since that point on. And I've been some good. One of these days, I could take some time and name Christian men that's been through this church that made a difference in my life. And I don't know where they're at. I don't know how many of them's alive. But the memory will do that. You know, when you talk about your things of the past, those stories are very vivid in my mind. I was telling Chris about when I went to school when I was younger. We had a pair of shoes called clodhoppers. You're probably too young to really know what those were. But those were like an army tank, except they were, had leather on them. And when you got home from school, you took your shoes off, and then you did without, you know, with your either old pair or without shoes. And that's talking with Chris. You look back at that, and I thought, boy, it was really rough. And I said this, I think I said it before. When I went to school, my mom would fix me a tomato sandwich with a slice of onion on a piece of bread and wrap it in a newspaper. And most of the kids in my school, they may not have had the tomato and they may not have had the onion, but they brought their stuff. And then we put it in a bag. And you know what we did with that bag? You folded it up, stuck it with your coat or whatever you had. And when you went home, you took that bag home. And I figured, boy, did we have it rough. Was we poor? I didn't know how rich I was. And when our Bible verse that I read to you said, remember Lot's wife. That paints a picture. I don't know what kind of picture it paints in your mind, but it paints one definitely in mine. The word remember in the Bible is over 200 times, and there's just illustration about remembering stuff. And remembering is good because it gives us a direction for the future. You've heard it said that history has a way of repeating itself. And I was talking with Chris about kids. And when you, my kids, and I never heard any kind of bad music or hillbilly music and stuff like that when I was home. Now, whether or not it played when I wasn't there, I don't know. But when Dad come around, it was clear. But anyway, back to this remembering. I can remember the day I got saved. I don't remember the time. I don't remember the date, but I can remember when I got saved. And that's a good memory. I never want to lose that. God told the nation of Israel to remember what he had done for them. That was their salvation experience then. But now we're talking now about remembering Lot's wife. And you'd say, why in the world would we remember Lot's wife? Well, when I think of all the Bible evidence on Lot's wife, I don't know about you, brother. I come up with about like this. I mean, the Bible does give us a little bit of detail, but it's weird that the Bible doesn't say, remember Abraham, remember Lot, remember Jacob. Or how about David, a man after God's own heart? It doesn't say remember him, but it does say remember Lot's wife. Now, here's what we know about Lot's wife. She was married to Lot. Boy, you learned something tonight. They lived in a place called Sodom. And they got there because her husband and his uncle, Abraham, split because their herds were too great. And Abraham gave Lot the choice of where he would settle. And he could have settled north, south, east, or west. And he chose the plain of that Sodom area. He went there to live. And they did go there to live. So she knew a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah because she lived there. They also had two unmarried daughters. And the Bible says, the Bible told her, don't look back. Now, why did they leave there? Because God sent his angels because he was going to destroy those cities. And why was he going to destroy those cities? Because of their wickedness. Now, the Bible says of Lot that he vexed his righteous soul. Now, you figure, what is a righteous man doing in Sodom? And obviously, the answer is he was living. And when you think of Lot, you think of his relationship with Abraham, and you think of Abraham, you think of his relationship with God. And if you remember right, the Bible said of Abraham, he was a friend of God, a friend. So that means he had a close relationship. Now, when they traveled from Canaan, they traveled together. Their flocks were always mammoth. And a lot of times they ate meals together. And you think that she knew about Abraham's God? When Abraham built an altar, you think that her and her husband didn't say, what's he doing, Lot? No, they knew what he was doing. They knew that Abraham worshipped a God that told him to take his family and move to a place that God didn't even show him. And they had seen his altars. They'd seen Abraham's worship. They bred with Abraham. And I don't know what kind of witness Abraham was. If he was a witness at all for this Jehovah God, she had to see that. What was Lot's wife's demise? Was it a result of her husband? Is it possible that a woman could lead a man astray? Or a man could lead a woman astray? The answer is obviously yes. A woman is, in those days, was submissive to their husbands. And I'm not saying she did because she had to, but she was married to him. They had two kids. And so he led his wife into a situation where she went with him willingly. And it was bad. You know, the saying is said that a man is captain of the ship. Now, what happens in Ted's household if it's bad? Who gets to blame? Ted does. And if something happens bad in my household, who gets to blame? And it rightly good. Reverend Fleming used to say 90% of all marital problems in the home was the man's fault. That's kind of harsh, but it's probably true. And I didn't get a statistic. I couldn't find anything about that. So anyway, Lot's wife knew about God. She knew how to approach him. She'd seen the altars that Abraham had built. She observed how Abraham approached God. And she was aware of the coming destruction. Now remember, if you were familiar with the story, God sent angels and Abraham talked to him, and that starts in Genesis, I think it's 16 to 19. And anyway, Abraham told the angels that if there was just 10 righteous, would it? And they said, and God said, no, they wouldn't do it. So anyway, when they went down, they seen the city and they seen how wicked it was, and the angels told Lot and his family, we're going to destroy this place. Judgment is coming. Her responsibility was to weigh on the facts, tell her family about them. And you wonder, as that coming judgment came, she looked back, and everyone knows what happened to her. She turned into a pillar of salt. And you wonder, why would somebody that knew destruction was coming look back? I mean, there wasn't any gray area. You look back and you're going to have, something's going to happen. But you know, we see the same thing today in churches today. People come to church and they know Jesus Christ is coming. They know there's going to be a judgment. But it doesn't seem to have any effect. I believe she looked back because she didn't believe God's word. And many make the same mistakes today. The Bible says if you're a Christian and you get out of hand, what happens? He chastises you. When God says something, he's not bluffing. He's going to hold us accountable. Maybe it was a problem with her eyes. I have to remember that. You remember that, the problem with her eyes. She longed to be with others. Have you ever walked by a store and you know you shouldn't be in there? And you, in curiosity, I call it curiosity. Curiosity gets the best of you. I can't say it was curiosity to get her. She looked back because there was something inside her that wanted to know if what transpired happened. Now, when they were leaving, when God had fire and brimstone come down from heaven, you think she heard that? I think she did. But yet her inclination was to look back. And maybe it's because her focus was on the wrong thing. And you know, for Christians, our focus can get wrong thing. And I've told you this because it bears witness. It's true. You got to be careful what you hear. You got to be careful what you see. You got to be careful who you run with. Is that popular? No. Akeem was talking with Yvette about some music. And of course, I was the innocent guy. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know that. That's not really true. I didn't know anything about that music because it's a different era of time. And you know, you hear people ask me if I heard rap music. And I hear rap music. I set many of these red lights, and the guy next door, his car shaking back and forth. But she looked back because she had her heart, her yearning was back there. When she looked back, she lost her life. She lost her lifestyle. She lost the good times. She lost everything that she had. Why? Because she focused on the wrong thing. And she's not the only one in the Bible that looked at the wrong thing and focused on the wrong area. You remember the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15? He looked in a faraway place, and what it cost him? It cost him an awful bad experience. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17. You see, when she left Sodom, started leaving physically, she left something behind, and that was her heart. And you know, you don't have to partake in certain sins to be a sinner. The only thing that's stopping you is circumstances, the right timing, if you can get by with it. But you know, judgment's coming soon. The Bible says that she became a pillar of salt. What God said is true. It transpired and it happened. For Lot's wife, there was no pardons, no second chances, and no hope. She was gone and lost forever, and nothing could be done about her. Now you say, what can we glean from remembering her? And I think there's a couple things that we can remember. We can remember, first of all, that our life is going to end. And it may be sooner than we think. And it could be that if something happens and we look back for our life, who wants their life to be a wasted thing? You know, I've talked to people that die and they say, well, you know, I have four kids and so and so and so and so. But if that's all you'd have in your life, is procreation, you really haven't left much. But if you've been a witness for Christ, you lived a good Christian life, you've made an influence on your kids that that affected their life for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got pleasant memories. Any questions or comments on what I said? And buddy, you're getting out of here early today. Let's bow and we will ask the Lord to with us. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to remember what you have done. Lord, memory is a wonderful thing. You've given it to us. And Lord, I exercise it all the time. And just the fact that the conversation I had with Akeem and Chris last week reminded me of how pleasant it is. And Lord, one day we'll remember, because you said in your word, every idle word that men shall speak in the day of judgment, they'll give an account for it. So there's going to be a lot of remembering going on. But Lord, I hope each of us here, and I believe it to be true, that each of us can remember the day you paid for our sins, the day that you changed their lives. And what a pleasant memory. And the good part, Lord, is those things that we remember will be nothing compared to the reality that we share with you. Continue to be with our pastor, his family, watch over and protect them. And Lord, as I believe they'll be coming back soon, that you would just have your will and way in their lives. Be with those that couldn't be here, and for those in our church that have physical, spiritual needs. And for everything you do, I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.